Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, so I'm listening yesterday, and I hear the I hear Lawrence from the OTM show now trying to compare guests. So he may not be Greg Cosell from the NFL Network, but I'm getting a little concerned about Lawrence right now.
Aren't we all?
Aren't you getting? I mean, really, I'm getting concerned. I mean, we got Mark Schlereth on, we got Tim Brando on, we got Bill O'Brien on, we got, you know, we got Patrick McEnroe from Australia on. That cost a pretty penny, and we get Cosell on a couple times during the playoffs. And now it's like it's in his head. What's going on, man? Why is it in his head?
He's just trying to bring the level of OTM up as well. You know, it's all about the bigger picture.
Bigger picture. I'm in Iowa. It's below zero. I'm looking at a frozen river.
That's all right. Here, there's a hurricane west wind coming through.
Hey, Lou Piniella gave a speech in Seattle, and he praised Edgar Martinez. We'll get to Dan Patrick here in a moment. He praised Edgar Martinez, and he said, she should be in the Hall of Fame. A lot of applause. He said, you know, when he first went to the Yankees, he had his hair long. And Steinbrenner came up to him, and he said, can't do that, got to cut it. He goes, well, he says, you know, Jesus Christ was one of the greatest figures in the history of the world. He says, and he had, you know, according to pictures, paintings, whatever, he had long hair. Steinbrenner took him outside the ballpark, took him across the street to a hotel, right, to a motel, took him back to the pool. He says, walk across that, I'll let you wear your hair whatever way you want. Here in Iowa today, you can walk across the river because it's frozen. It is frozen.
That's funny.
What do we have on today? What do we have on today's show? Today's show, we'll have Patrick Chambers in a few moments. Then the next half hour, Tim Owen on Penn State Wrestling. We have Jeff Byers tomorrow, by the way, here from Iowa City. Tim Owen from Beloit Illustrated next half hour. Third half hour, this is going to be one that's in your wheelhouse, babe. This is going to be about Super Bowl tickets. You know, and we even give credit to your group at StubHub, all right? Because you were a big StubHub guy the other day. I'm going to have Tony Knopp on from Sports Management in Los Angeles to talk about how they distribute Super Bowl tickets, why it is so flat in the stadium, and we'll talk about that. Fair enough?
That sounds great. I have my thoughts. I want to see if I'm right.
That's always a dangerous sentence. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or online at rewfinancial.com. Also, Sunbury Motor Studios mobile today. Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Hilscher's Store Hotline. Hilscher's General Store Hotline open, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And you can always go to www.hilscherstore.com. What a place. 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. Bakery, deli, clothing.
You know what I found the other day? I used to see this made of Tupperware when I was a kid, You know how you.
Oh,
you know,
I thought you were going to say inner peace. But
no,
please,
no.
Go ahead.
Well, once I started using this product that I got from Hilschers, I actually had some inner peace, but a different reason altogether. We used to have those hamburger makers where you push it down and it would make the perfect hamburger patty. I found one of those made out of metal and it's just a little hamburger press. And I haven't seen one of those since I was a kid. That is I now have the perfect hamburgers, not too thin. Not too, you know, the sides are nice and round. And let's face it, I take my food seriously, Steve.
Time now for Above the Noise. Here's Dan Patrick.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
If it's January, it's the January New Ford Truck Sale at Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Choose from over 100 new 2013 F-150s starting as low as $21,454 and new 2013 F-150 4x4 Super Cabs from just $28,389. The totally redesigned 2013 Ford Escape gets up to 33 mpg. And SMC has 63 available starting at $19,975. The top-selling 2013 Ford Explorer offers seating for seven and goes great in the snow. Sunbury Motors has over 20 to pick from, as low as $29,335. Stop in Sunbury Motors and see why they've been the top-selling F-150 dealer in the entire Philadelphia region for three consecutive years. SMC is loaded with inventory, and the prices are slashed to historic lows during this January new truck sale. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Serving Central PA for almost a century.
Now Lawrence wants to save us money. I like it. Now you're saying, now why am I talking about the Lawrence promos? Okay. It's very important when you work for a great station, and we work for a great station, that you cross-promote people you like. So, I like Lawrence. Good guy. Great guy. Speaks highly of you, Kev.
Some days.
Okay, let's earlier today, in fact, about a half hour ago, I had a little sit-down with Patrick Chambers. Practiced really well this week. Great shoot-around today. So we talked about that, among other topics.
I mean, I would take it a day before that. I mean, we've had a good week of practice. Did a little yoga on Monday. We mixed things up a little bit. We got a lot of shots up. We got better this week. You know, I'd like to see what we do in practice start to translate to games, though.
The yoga part and so forth. You know, you've had a couple of extra days. Do you want this team to relax a little bit by also working hard?
There's no doubt. I mean, that's why you do it. You want clear minds and less distractions, and you want to get a good stretch, take care of their bodies a little bit. You know, when it gets to February, you have pounded their bodies now since really September, if you think about it. So it was a good way for them to rest their bodies, rest their minds, and hopefully that's what you saw the last couple of days. You saw some extra energy, some extra enthusiasm, and guys are making shots, guys are playing hard. We've had a good week. Again, I'd like to see it tonight.
February is an important month. This is the last day of January. Do you consider this the first day of February?
First day of February. It's a new season, I always say. All right? So this is it. You're 0-0 right now, going into the last month of February. Just clear whatever's happened so far. Let's just tackle February the best we can. I always say, as you go along, this is when your team should be getting better. And I feel like we are. Whether that translates into a win, I'm not sure, but we're definitely getting better.
We've talked about some of the really good sets you've run. Shots need to fall. At times, though, are you concerned about spacing, somebody getting into a wrong spot?
you know, we're always, you know, very detailed in what we try to do offensively, and we always want to get better spacing anytime you can, and especially when we put in the post and guys are second cutting and some rip action, things like that. They just need to know where they are on the floor and to be able to work together. And working together could be giving another guy 2 feet, 3 feet, or, you know, making a hard basket cut to get your teammate open. It's not always about you.
DJ Newbill, he gave you 40 hard minutes in Indiana. I mean, hard minutes. In a lot of ways, he overpowered Aaron Kraft the way he played. What are you seeing from him? Does he have leadership qualities that can translate to other people while he's still working on his own game?
Yeah, I thought he did against Indiana. I thought he was terrific. I mean, he played so hard at Indiana, and you saw a tough kid that would not back down from Indiana, and there's something to be said for that. I thought he did the same thing against Aaron in Ohio State. He needs to continue on that path. He has been the guy who's come out and brought the energy and brought the enthusiasm and brought the toughness. So with his leadership, you've had a good week of practice.
How tough has it been for you as a head coach? You want players to lead, to take that responsibility off your plate so you can then coach while leading. Has it been tough for you at times to try and be the coach, the psychologist, the leader at the same time, all mixed into one? And how much help can they give you by assuming it themselves?
I think the first thing you got to do with this generation is you got to motivate, you got to be a counselor, and you have to build trust before any of the basketball starts. I mean, that's just the way it is right now. And then once you do that, now I'm still the leader, there's no question, until they take ownership. But I also think that's what year two is. They always used to say year two is always the toughest year. You've got your foundation in, you've laid the cement, you've poured the cement, now you got to start laying the bricks. And that's what we're doing. We got to take it one step at a time. But I think DJ's starting to emerge as a guy that I can start to trust. And now I can start to really coach a little bit more. But the counseling's part of why I love doing this job.
Absolutely. You just have to develop trust with your play-by-play guy. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, Jack and I go out all the time.
Fran McCaffrey is another one of the Philadelphia gang, as we know. He did a great job when he went up to Siena. They haven't been the same since. He's now here doing a good job. What kind of style does he have with essentially a young team in a lot of spots?
Super guy, great coach. Known him for a long time. A lot of connections with Franny. They want to go. They want to go up and down. I mean, I think Iowa City loves his up and they love his tempo. They love the pace that they play at. They're going to try to score 80 points tonight. That would not be good for us. We need to slow the game down a little bit. We need to defend. We need to rebound and we need to make shots. But I think, you know, he's playing 10 guys. He has the luxury of playing 10 guys, which is great. And he's in year three and that's where it is, you know. And hopefully we can get to that point where we can get 10 deep and get up and down a little bit, because I would much rather score in the 70s than in the 50s.
Jack Ham, want to wish you luck. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, Steve.
Yes. He also wanted me to tell you hi, by the way.
I thank you. Tell him I said hello. It was great to not chat with him there. Oh.
I'm talking about Jack now.
Okay.
Yeah. When's the last time I talked to Jack?
Three minutes ago.
Right. No, yesterday. Yesterday. So. All right, so that's just a feel and a read. This is a good Iowa basketball team. They're 13-7. They're really good here at Carver Hawkeye. They're 11-2. Young basketball team. Woodbury, the 7-footer in the middle, good player. You go to the backcourt, and Clemens is playing a little more point guard. They recruited Mike Gazelle to be a point guard, but they then moved him to the off guard, and he splits a little time, plays a little point along the way. But he's a good shooter. He's averaging about 9.5, almost 10 points a game. Devin Roy Marble, and yes, it is Roy Marble's kid. There's a lot of times he handles the point duties as a point forward. Everyone knows how highly I think of Aaron White. 6'8", 6'9", mobile, can step outside, take a shot, get to the basket, good first step. Really a good-looking player. Basabi is a player that went to Siena, did not go to Siena. He was recruited by Fran McCaffrey and committed to Siena. When Fran McCaffrey took the Iowa job, Basabi was released from his commitment at Siena, and McCaffrey re-recruited him and brought him out here to Iowa. He's the sixth man. He hasn't started a game yet this year. One of the more valuable six men in the conference, athletic and rebound and so forth. And they really, and McCabe, who had been a starter, now comes off the bench. And see what he's done here, what Fran McCaffrey has done, what fans have to understand. The guys that are coming off the bench now for Iowa, Basabe, McCabe, Eric May, all were starters, right? All were starters. Now they're bench players and role players. You have to make the transition to get role players back into being role players and not force them to be starters. Fran McCaffrey has been able to work through and get that. That's what Patrick Chambers has to do. But remember, and I keep pointing this out, Patrick Chambers took over in June a year and a half ago. Nobody takes over in June. Okay, that's I mean, taking over in June is weeks after even the late signing period's over with. So he's already had, he's had to start from behind. And that's made a big difference. Next half hour, we talk wrestling with Tim Owen of Blue White Illustrated. Third half hour, Tony Knopp on Super Bowl tickets and why Kevin can't find any. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to rewfinancial.com. News is next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motor Studio is mobile today. We're in Iowa City where I'm looking out at the Iowa River here at Iowa River Landing, which I could walk across and get to the woods on the other side. Sunbury Motors is located at 4th Street in Sunbury, and there's Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, right across from the beautiful Susquehanna Valley Country Club, which I'm playing the first day it's open. I'm not kidding. I'm anxious to grab some golf clubs and go. And also, we have the Hilshers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Go to www.hilshersstore.com. We'll be calling out that on that in a few moments. Talk with Tim Owen of Blue White Illustrated, his first foray into this broadcast. And, of course, this is Thursday, and every Thursday is sponsored by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 1-800-609-9484. You can go online to rewfinancial.com.
You know, if you were a fisherman, I'd tell you to go out to the Iowa River if you can cut a hole in it and throw a line in, because they have buffalo fish in that river, which actually, if you're a fisherman, is actually one of the tougher game fish to catch. Once you do get them on the line, boy, they put up a really good fight.
Time now to bring in Tim Owen from Blue White Illustrated. Talk a little wrestling. Tim, welcome to the show.
For you, one of the mega events of the week is going to be 9 o'clock on Friday night when Penn State will wrestle Iowa, currently the best wrestling program in America, against what used to be the best wrestling program in America. What are some of your thoughts going into that one, Tim?
Yeah, this is a big one. First off, it'll be aired live on the Big Ten Network Friday night, so that's a big opportunity for everyone to catch a glimpse of the Penn State wrestling team against some of the best competition in the country. As you said, Iowa is just historically the staple piece of the sport of wrestling. Their tradition is second to none. Oklahoma State's there, and Penn State is approaching that tradition, but it really is going to come down to two teams that just have a ton of talent. They recruit against each other every year against the top guys in the country, and it's just really what this sport's all about. When you break it down, it's the best teams. They have best wrestlers from top to bottom, and of course it's going to be in the Carver Hawkeye Arena out there in Iowa, which is considered the best wrestling environment in the country, unless you ask some of the guys on the Penn State team. They'll tell you Rec Hall, but there's close to 15,000 people out there. It's going to be an electric environment, and it's going to be something to watch, that's for sure.
What do you think are some of the keys? I mean, what do you, you know, you look at the guys, you see them all the time. I mean, where's you know, Penn State, you would think is going to be favored in most of these. Why? And where? I mean, well, not why, but where? I know why.
Well, if you look at it on paper, Steve, it's basically going to be even. It's there's five guys ranked ahead of the five guys. It's like a 5-5 split here. Iowa is pretty loaded in the front end and the lightweights. They have the number one ranked 125 pounder in the country to start things off. He's a 3-time national finalist, 2-time national champion, and he'll be going against Nico Magaludis, who's the number 2 125 pounder in the country. So just starting off right there, you're going to have a great match. And then for the next four lightweights, Iowa's pretty stacked there. They have number 2 guy at 33, the number 8 guy at 141. 49, they're down. 157, they have the number 1 guy. So the first five weights are going to be, you know, a pretty even, pretty challenging for Penn State. And then the second half of the lineup is where Penn State really gets into their guys, you know, David Taylor, Ed Ruth, Quentin Wright, Matt Brown. So it's kind of going to be a tale of two capes, I think. You're going to have Iowa, which is going to be favored in the first five matches, on paper at least, and then Penn State, which is going to be favored in the last five matches. And what is going to separate this, in my opinion, is if one of Penn State guys, one of Iowa guys scores a couple of bonus points or an upset, of course. But when you have guys like David Taylor wrestling, Ed Ruth, who are bonus point machines, just reading something earlier that David Taylor has more tech falls than anyone in the country right now. And honestly, I don't think anyone's scored more tech falls than him since he's been in the college wrestling world. But it's going to come down to bonus points, and I think that's going to be the main difference here. And David Taylor talked about that yesterday. I was up in the wrestling room with him. He said that's going to be basically the difference between such an evenly matched dual meet. A bonus point here, a bonus point there, that really could end up being like an extra win for Penn State or Iowa if they end up getting a couple bonus points. But on paper, this thing is as even as it gets. 5-5 split, and like I've been saying, it's going to come down to, you know, a tech fall here. If Andrew Alton or Ed Ruth can pull out a pin, you know, maybe that's going to be the big difference in this match. It's going to be interesting to see.
Getting the Altons back, what can that mean? And was there a little rust in Rec Hall Sunday?
You know, there might have been. Cannell said afterwards that there absolutely wasn't. It was just maybe a little bit of focus. But the reason that there might have been a little bit of rust is Andrew Alton went out there and burst out to a 4-0 lead in the first period. And then some people say that they thought he might have gassed towards the end, ran out a little bit of energy, and he ended up getting pinned in the third period, which is just something you're not used to seeing from Andrew Alton. So him being out of competition, or at least dual meet competition, since December 22nd, had to play some sort of role into that. How much of a role, you know, that's yet to be determined, and you're not going to hear either Cale or Andrew Allen talk about that. But Dylan came out and wrestled real well, beat the number 4 ranked guy in the country, James Green, who's Nebraska's stud. He's their best guy on the lineup this year, and Dylan wrestled him very tough all three periods. So I wouldn't say that he was necessarily rusty, but you know, Andrew does look like he needs a little bit to come back from the 1 month layoff. I think, you know, he'll be okay. Will he come around this week? Maybe. He, like I said, 149 is a little bit of a down weight for Iowa in terms of how stacked they are in the first five weights. Their 149-pounder isn't ranked, where Andrew is still considered the number 8 guy in the country at that weight class. So a big win for him there would you know, trying to get him back on track heading into the postseason, you know, Big Tens and the national tournament in March. But I didn't see much rust from Dylan. I thought Dylan wrestled his match exactly how he likes to wrestle his match, and he did pretty well against the number 4 wrestler in the country, like I said.
Yeah, no question. Quickly on wrestling recruiting, there's always something where, mm-hmm. you know, for years, people would look at Dean Smith and say, well, Dean Smith doesn't recruit, he selects. Well, you still have to select the right people, okay? Okay, we're just in general, as you know, I can't get into specifics, but in general, how's that part gone in comparison to other schools?
Well, in comparison to other schools, Penn State doesn't necessarily have the scholarship room for this recruiting cycle like a lot of other schools do. For example, your Pittsburgh and Michigan is bringing in a lot of talent this year as far as numbers go. But this year, Cal is actually a little limited as far as scholarship room goes because they're only losing two seniors from the starting lineup, Quentin Wright and Brian Pearsall. The rest, they're all going to be coming back next year. So there's not a lot of turnover here. So they went after the top guys in the state. They hit on one. His name's Zane Rutherford up in Benton, Pennsylvania. He's a lightweight. He'll probably be coming in as a 141-pounder. And he was actually a world champion in freestyle this past summer, and he's just a very talented recruit, good kid. And that was their prize of this recruiting class. But then, as you saw, they started to struggle with scholarship room, they missed out on a couple of the big names in Pennsylvania. And that's just kind of the nature of the beast when you have a roster loaded of young talent like they do right now. But they're still pulling in quite a good recruiting class. Like I said, Rutherford is the headliner. They're bringing in, I'm pretty sure, the entire class is from the state of Pennsylvania, which, as a Pennsylvania wrestling fan, you like to see wrestling fans staying in state like that. But they have Rutherford headlining the class. They have Garrett Hammond from Chambersburg. He's a pretty big name that they brought in for the 2013 cycle. They have Devin Bentley from Trinity. Cody Law from Forest Hills. He's projected to be about a 165-pounder. And then their other big-time recruit is Matt McCutcheon from Kiski area. He was the number 29th-ranked overall recruit in this entire cycle. He's projected at 184. So they're doing well, even though they are a little bit limited in terms of numbers because, of course, wrestling is a 9.9 scholarship sport where, mm-hmm. you know, basketball and football, they have, or at least in a normal situation, they have 25 scholarships to give for each football team, where in wrestling they have 9.9 and they have to divide them evenly among 10 starters. So they're a little limited this year, but for what they have, they've brought in a very good recruiting class. Next year looks to be even better. The junior class that's coming in next year, that are juniors in high school right now, there's a lot of talent out there. And wrestling fans that are listening probably have heard the name Chance Marsteller from Kennard Dale. He's at the top of the recruiting board for the next cycle. So, and after that, they should have a little bit more room scholarship-wise because you figure David Taylor's going into his senior year, Ed Ruth's going into his senior year. There's going to be a little bit more turnover following the 2014 season.
Next up, we're approaching National 11 and 10th Day for college football, which obviously mm-hmm. is a national holiday for you guys. But for Penn State, it's not just what they do on February 6th. You have to be ahead of the game now in terms of looking at the first Wednesday in February 2014, first day in February 2015. That means recruiting juniors and sophomores. What's the read that Blue White Illustrated is getting on how Bill and Brian and his staff are doing? Because I think everyone's pretty established as to which players are verbal to Penn State for this class. How are they doing on 14, 15, looking at juniors and sophomores and targeting them?
Yeah, with signing day a week away, there really shouldn't be any surprises as far as this class goes. Right now, it looks like everyone is firm to their commitment. Looks like they'll be signing on Wednesday, and it doesn't look like there's anyone out there that's going to, you know, make a surprise and choose Penn State in the last minute. Just doesn't look that way. But from what our recruiting reporter Ryan Snyder has been telling me and what he's been reporting over the past couple weeks is Penn State's really trying to switch their focus to the 2014 class. You know, they are focusing on some 2015 guys as well. And then, of course, the current run-on group that they're adding for this current class. But right now, especially over the past 2 weeks or so, Bill O'Brien and most of the entire coaching staff has been touring the entire state of Pennsylvania. I read somewhere earlier that O'Brien joked that he's probably been to almost every high school in the state. And that they're finding some of the 2014 guys. There's some scholarships going out here and there. But mainly this road trip around the Commonwealth has been just to build relationships with not only the kids, but the coaches. And I've heard stories of O'Brien going around to teachers, you know, former Penn State alum that, you know, that are big fans, and he goes and gets a picture taken with them and just forms new relationships with all these different high schools across the state. And, you know, he's been all over Philadelphia, the northeastern parts of the state, you know, the Whitfield region. And that, like I said, a lot of that's going to be, you know, they're focusing on 2014 guys. There's a 2015 running back down at St. Joe's Prep that they have their eye on already. But they're really just trying to build relationships right now and trying to just fortify the relationship within the state of Pennsylvania. And then I'm assuming here soon, if he hasn't already, he'll be reaching out to schools in New Jersey and Maryland and other traditional recruiting areas that Penn State's always had success with.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion that with the addition of Maryland and Rutgers, actually that opens up more doors for Penn State.
Yeah.
I felt that when Penn State went into the Big Ten, it actually opened up Pennsylvania a bit for Michigan and Ohio State.
Oh, yeah, and Ohio State's been taking some of the best talent from Pennsylvania for years. Michigan, too, is the Patrick Kluger offensive lineman out from the Pittsburgh area. He's arguably the best prospect in the state of Pennsylvania this year. He'll be going out to Michigan on Wednesday, or he'll be sending his letter of intent to Michigan on Wednesday. So that does show that, you know, the Big Ten expansion does kind of open up new recruiting territories. So does Rutgers and Maryland open up Jersey and Maryland for Penn State? Yeah, I mean, they've always been recruiting that pretty heavily, but you know, you're going to have even more kids that are going to want to, you know, have that chance to play in their home state. You know, if they go to Penn State, they know they're going to be playing in Maryland. Or if they're from New Jersey, they know they're going to have a game at Rutgers. So that has to only help in that sense. But then you also have added competition, too. And it also opens up Pennsylvania more to Maryland and to Rutgers, maybe more than it had before.
Well, I think, as far as I'm concerned, the Big Ten Network is one of the underrated game changers in the recent history of college sports, with the money, the doors it's opened, and what it's done for the conference, but monetarily what it's done. I think the Big Ten Network, Jim Delaney has to get a lot of credit, because I think that's one of the great game changers that we've seen across the board in every sport.
Oh, I'd agree. Wrestling's a perfect example of that. I mean, a lot of people plan on tuning in Friday night. It's going to be a sold-out crowd, as we talked about. But for football, I mean, you can turn on the Big Ten Network almost any day, and you're going to be able to find at least one football game, even if it's from the 1990s or, you know, some replay from the year before. It really has opened up the Big Ten, you know, as far as publicity goes and all that. Now you just kind of need to start seeing the results kind of go on the field in terms of being competitive with the SEC and the Pac-12 and things like that. But, yeah, the Big Ten Network does play into this, and that's why you're seeing other schools, you know, or other conferences making the same type of move. You know, you have the Longhorn Network with Texas, and Pac-12 has the network now, too. And in my opinion, that kind of all stems from the Big Ten Network move. And like you're saying, that's across the board. You know, the Big Ten Network helps out every sport, you know, soccer, lacrosse. And we watched Michigan State, Penn State hockey Saturday night on the Big Ten Network. So that, you know, that definitely helps. And I think it's only increasing the role that it plays in recruiting. You know, as Big Ten Network goes into more households, and from how I understand it, this whole Big Ten expansion with Rutgers and Maryland had a lot to do with the Big Ten TV footprint in those states. So you're going to have the network in more households, more recruiting households in Maryland and New Jersey, and who knows what state comes next if this expansion continues. So, yeah, that helps with recruiting as well, not just for Penn State, not just for Rutgers and Maryland, but like you said, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin, really just kind of localizes the entire Big Ten. in the one TV circle.
Tim, an absolute pleasure. It's great to have you on, and thanks for the perspective you gave us.
Hey, no problem, Steve. I'm glad to talk to you again.
Tim Owen, Blue White Illustrated. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or online at REWfinancial.com. We had a big, Lee and Rick had a big event last night. Felt awful I couldn't be at it, but we're trying to make sure it's on the calendar for me to be there next year. I'm looking forward to it. We'll come back with more from Iowa City in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can always visit Rick or Lee online at REWfinancial.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilshers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilshers General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. You can go to www.hilshersstore.com. Next half hour, Tony Knapp on Super Bowl tickets and why there are some issues this year in terms of those wishing to make a profit off of Super Bowl tickets. The profit margin has decreased dramatically to its lowest level since 2002, which was after, of course, 9/11. This is where you jump in.
Oh, this is where, right here, right now? Okay, I will. Hey, there are two from the area young football players that are going to be running on at Penn State. Linebacker Brandon Smith of Lewisburg looks like he's going to go to Penn State. He's been a solid linebacker, 6'1", 215 for the Lewisburg Green Dragons, including their state run a couple of years ago. Got offers from Colgate, Lehigh, and also Princeton. And it looks like Austin Fiedler from Warrior Run, a nice 6'5", 285-pound lineman. Warrior Run ran behind him a lot over the last couple of years, and understandably so. He is going to try and run on at Penn State. Of course, Warrior Run also has a little bit of a connection there in the coaching staff, Steve, as you very well know, and had on this program several times.
All right, so there's the news there. Tony Knapp will step in, talk about Super Bowl tickets. Next half hour. Kevin tried to explain this concept earlier in the week.
Made sense in my mind.
Never were truer words spoken. Tony has a different way of phrasing it, different words. We trust it'll make sense.